Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to start off where we finished last week and read verse 28 through the rest of the chapter. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together. O gracious God and Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you for your wonderful word, for this majestic passage of Scripture that we have just read together. And what assurance it gives to us that we belong to you, that you are our God and Heavenly Father, and that we are surrounded by your love and mercy and grace that can never be taken away. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us, for the salvation that you have purchased with your own blood, that we might be redeemed and brought back unto God, and that we might be free from every sin and all condemnation. Hallelujah. We thank you, our Father. We thank you for all that you are and all that you mean to us. We pray for our church. We pray that you will help us, our Father, to be united together in one accord, to serve you faithfully, to honor you, and to magnify your name. We thank you for your word that went forth this past week at Vacation Bible School, and for those who were here, and pray that each one will take the word of God with them wherever they go, that they'll not forget it. And we pray for each one to come to know the Lord Jesus as personal Savior and Redeemer. We pray this morning, our Father, for all of our people. You know the need of each and every one, and we ask you to just comfort the hearts of those who are weary and discouraged, downhearted perhaps. Some may be depressed. We pray, O God, show them your goodness, your grace, your love. Help us all to be encouraged and strengthened and able to rejoice in all that we have in Christ. We pray for those who are sick, our Father, that you would touch and heal. You know the need of each and every one. And we just ask you to undertake for them today. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in every heart and life. We do pray for our country today. We pray for our leaders. We ask you to help them to be faithful to you, those who know you. And we pray for those who do not know you, that they might come to know you in a personal way. Lord, you know, we are in your hands. Please have mercy upon our land and upon our people, and help us to truly have a great revival among the believers in our own church and in all the other churches throughout this great country. We pray, O Lord, that your holy will be done. We pray for Jim Ellsmore today, our Father. We thank you for him. We know he's faithful. He's been serving you for many, many years. And pray that you would continue to comfort and strengthen him, bless him day by day, and help him as he serves you. And pray that you would just continue to bless his life and his ministry. We thank you, too, for all of our missionaries and for their faithfulness. And ask you to guide and help them. Be with the Babus, especially as they are serving you in India right now. We ask you to just watch over them and help them and bring them safely back when the time is over. And we ask you, Lord, to guide and direct in every heart and life. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, to know that we are your people. May our Lord Jesus be glorified. We pray in his precious name. We're looking at more than conquerors through Christ, you know. Romans 8 is the highest point in this great epistle of the Romans. It's the pinnacle, actually, of all that Paul has to say. To review, we've seen so far that man's is sinful by nature and unable to change himself to be pleasing to God. No matter how hard he tries, there's no way he can do it on his own. The only way to be righteous in God's sight is by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who paid the price for our sins and who shed his blood that we might be redeemed. Scripture says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We're set free. We're not being judged. He has given believers his Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us, that we might live victoriously and be pleasing to God. We are to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive unto Christ. We do not have to live in the flesh and be defeated. We read that just recently. As we trust in the Lord, he will help us overcome these temptations all around us. God does not promise us a life free from sufferings, but he does promise to be with us every step of the way, and that he will see us through no matter what. Someday we will experience, as it said in the last chapter, the glorious liberty of the children of God. All of creation will be set free from the curse, and we can rejoice in all that God has for us when Jesus returns to receive us unto himself and to rule and reign in righteousness. So here this morning, let's look once again at Romans 8:28. It says this is God's ultimate purpose, God's plan. You know, it's not just hit and miss with God. He has a definite plan. We may not always know what it is, but he certainly knows exactly what he's doing. What is God's ultimate purpose? It says here that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So he has a purpose. What is it? The next verse says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. See? You know, we get hung up so often on the doctrines, right? Theology and election and predestination and all these big words that we throw around so easily. But what God wants us to do is to be like his Son. Isn't that what he says? That's what he predestined us to be, like Jesus. Wow, like Jesus. I don't feel much like Jesus, do you? We have to work on that. But anyway, 1 John chapter 3. I have a reference here. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We are already. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Yeah? I think what he's saying here, we are already children of God. We are sons of God. But we don't know what we're going to be like in the future, except we're going to be like Jesus. He's going to give us a body like himself. We are going to be, when we get to heaven, perfect. That'll be a wonderful thing. But he says right now, did you see verse 3? Every person, every man, it says here, everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself. See, if you really believe what this says, that God loves you and that he's working on you and that he wants you to be like Jesus, you are going to seek to be as pure as possible. Is that what he's saying? I think so. So we have a part in that as well, don't we? Huh? We need to make sure that we are seeking to please God as much as we possibly can. As he works in us, he's given us his word. He's given us the privilege of prayer. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us salvation through Christ Jesus. And he says to us, I want you to be more like my Son. Be pure. Don't allow yourself to go out and wallow in sin. That's what he's saying here. How can it possibly be that one who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb would go out and sin ungodliness before the Lord? We need to be pure. No. And I know we can't do it ourselves. It's a working of God working in us, right? We can't do it by ourselves, but we can yield ourselves to him. No matter how often we have to come back and say, Lord, I blew it. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me what I ought to be. Make me more like Jesus. That's what he wants. And may we do that. Coming back to Romans 8, we find 5 steps mentioned in God's plan for his people to be conformed to the image of his Son. First of all, he says, those whom he did foreknow. We see the foreknowledge of God. God is one who knows everything. There's nothing he does not know. He has all knowledge. He's omniscient. And in his foreknowledge, he works. And it says he did predestinate us, yes. But especially he predestinated us to go all the way and be like Jesus. See, it's a process, isn't it? As this, he has predestined us in that sense. That we might be, that he, that Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. And it tells us over in the book of Hebrews, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. How about that? Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers. And he goes on to say, the ones he predestinated, he called. You know, God has to call us. When did he call you? He called me especially when I was 15 and I answered the call. And he took me under his wing. It was so definite. You know, before that, I tried to be religious, baptized, and everything else. But it wasn't until God called me, his Spirit called me unto himself, that I answered, and it made all the difference. Whom he called, he justified. He's declared us to be righteous in his sight. Right. Justified. We say we sin, and we do from time to time, yes. We're still sinners in a sense. But that's not how God sees us. He doesn't see us as sinners. He sees us as children of him. He sees us as saints. You see? We're justified. There's no condemnation. There's no judgment to those who are in Christ. And so he justified us. And he says, them that he justified, he also glorified. You notice something about these words? They're all, excuse me, in the past tense. It says, the ones that he justified, he also glorified. So you tell me, can a believer be lost if we're already glorified? Absolutely not. It's all the work of God. And he takes it step by step. He foreknows us. He predestines us. He calls us. He justifies us. And he glorifies us. And we are just as sure, that is, if you if you have trusted in Christ as your Savior and you know him, you're sure for heaven. Right? Isn't that great? That's wonderful to know. But that doesn't mean we can go out and do anything we want to do and just kick up our heels and sin against God. That's not going to work. You know? Sometimes we try, might try that, but God says, hey, wait just 1 minute. He gets out his big paddle and goes to work, doesn't he? Huh? He knows how to bring us back into line. And how much better it is just to be obedient rather than to suffer the consequences of our disobedience. So, we see the wonderful plan of God, that all of this is security. We are safe. We're saved by the grace of God. And we see then, he goes on to talk about the certainty of salvation here. These wonderful, wonderful verses in verse 31 down through the end of the chapter, how beautiful it is. If God be for us, who can be against us? Wow. What a question, huh? Who do you want on your side? If God be for us, who can be against us? David went up against Goliath, right? In the name of the Lord God of Israel, right? We have him as our companion. He's with us. And we can face anything. If God be for us, who can be against us? There's no one. No one. No answer. No one can do that. It says, if God spared not his own son, He delivered him up for us all. He allowed Jesus to go to the cross and die, all of the suffering and anguish that he went through. If he did all that, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See, God is on our side. He's with us. He's not trying to put us down. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to go forward. He wants us to do his will. I'm not preaching, whenever I say something like that, I don't want you to think that you're going to go and get $1 million. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about living a productive life in God's sight and being successful in his eyes. You see? That's much more important than making money or having a lot of things, which only lasts for a little while, right? So, he'll give us whatever we need. Jesus said that when he was teaching. Father will give you all things, whatever you need. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can condemn us? It's God who justifies. See, what a wonderful verse that is. Who can condemn us? Christ died. Yeah, he's risen again. See? He's at the right hand of God interceding for us right now. Jesus is still working in our behalf. He's our advocate, our intercessor. And he cares for us. He goes on to talk about the love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He says, who? That's interesting. And then all these things are inanimate objects, aren't they? They're not people. So we could say, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who or what? Nothing. Nothing can separate us. No one. Whatever it might be, we go through all these things, and Christ is still with us. We still have his love, no matter what, in the midst of tribulation or distress or persecution. These people that are going through all of these difficulties and problems and heartaches, Christ is there with them to help them. Famine, nakedness, danger, sword, all these things that we face in life, they do come, yes. And we're not spared those. He says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him, right? So we have to go through all these things in this life, but he's there with us all the time. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Victorious. We have victory in Jesus, right? The song that we sing so often. And how we need to stop and think about that when things are going wrong, right? When we're having all kinds of difficulties, when the migraines come, when the difficulties of life surround us, Jesus is always there. He's promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. Paul says here in verse 38, I am persuaded. So he's come to the conclusion. This is the way it is. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not even death. You know, that's the thing we fear the most, I guess. It's the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death. But even in death, the believer is victorious, right? Because after death, we go to be with the Lord. Whatever it might be, death, life, angels, all these things that are mentioned here, no matter where we are, whether we're high or whether we're low. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. Nothing in all of creation can do that. Our final hope and assurance is not based on what we can do or anything in this world, but it's rather on the power and the love of God. So, I hope each one of us have that blessed assurance this morning in our hearts that we are the children of God by faith in Christ and trusting in Him, because His love will never fail. It's always there. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your word to our hearts today, this wonderful passage of Scripture. And we pray that we would be encouraged and strengthened and be able to overcome whatever enemy we might face, whatever difficulty we might see before us. Help us, our Father, to trust in You, to know that we have victory in Christ Jesus. Bless now as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Pray that it might be a time of great blessing as we have fellowship one with another and with our Lord Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen.